Numbers chapter 17. The book of Numbers and chapter 17. This evening I looked, and I don't know exactly, we have had 30 to 35 sermons following the life of Moses, the children of Israel, and I've looked ahead to the sermons that I have mapped out. And unless God changes my mind, we'll follow them for another 7 or 8 weeks or so. And that'll take about that long to get them over into the promised land. Took them 40 years, so it's not going to take us that long. But probably by the time it's all said, we will have spent a year or so studying them. I've been blessed by it. I've been enriched by the study of it. I have read these stories, as I'm sure you have, many times. But then as you look at them afresh and anew, you begin to see things and you wonder, I wonder if somebody didn't just put that in there, because I'm not sure it was there last time I read it. And you begin to see things that you didn't know were there. And that's no different tonight as I have studied on this message and thought about it, just how very, very well written, how rich God's Word is, the depths of it, the pictures and the types that God gives us to show us, and not only us, but to those children of Israel back then, to show them about a coming Christ, a coming Messiah, who would do for them what the Mosaic Law couldn't do. But we are, if you will remember, we took a period of time to talk about the rebellion of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and we've not completely left that. God has greatly punished the nation for their rejection of Moses, for calling into question Aaron's right to the priesthood. And God is, in Numbers chapter 17, essentially, he's just going to settle this thing once and for all. The children of Israel, as we talked about, is shockingly, even after the earth opens up and swallows Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, even after that, the very next morning, a bunch of them get up and start murmuring and complaining again, and God strikes them dead. You remember Aaron runs to intercede in their behalf, but before that, some 14,000, if I remember right, 14,500 of them die very, very quickly. And so we've not totally abandoned that. This event that we'll read about tonight falls quickly on the heels of this situation. God is through this chapter, he's just going to settle this thing once and for all, who he called to do the work of the priesthood and who he didn't call. And I still believe that God calls men to do his work, and only God calls men to do his work. Numbers chapter 17, we'll read this chapter together if you would this evening. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speaking of the children of Israel, and take of every one of them a rod according to the house of their fathers, of all their princes, according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods. Write thou every man's name upon his rod, and thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi. For one rod shall be for the head of the house of their fathers. And thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony, where I will meet with you. And it shall come to pass that the man's rod whom I shall choose shall blossom, and I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece, for each prince one, according to their father's houses, even 12 rods. And the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded. And it brought forth buds, and bloomed blossoms, and yielded almonds. And Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto all the children of Israel, and they looked, and took every man his rod. And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony to be kept for a token against the rebels, and thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. And Moses did so. As the Lord commanded him, so did he. And the children of Israel spake unto Moses, saying, Behold, we die, we perish, we all perish. Whosoever cometh anything near unto the tabernacle of the Lord shall die. Shall we be consumed with dying? In this 17th chapter, God calls Moses and instructs him to tell the children of Israel to do something that at first glance is a little bit strange. It is a little bit awkward what the Lord tells or commands them to do. But even in this, the Lord in tender mercy is teaching. Even in this command to take these rods and put them into the tabernacle, even in this, God is going to, as I said, He's going to clarify once and for all who He called to do the ministry, who has the right to serve in the office of the priest. And then not only that, though, He's also teaching. Behind the scenes of the actual event itself is God in His tender mercy teaching the children of Israel, teaching them in type and by typology. The rod that is being spoken of here, Aaron's rod that budded, in my sermon title for this evening, I took it down out of verse number 8, is Aaron's rod that bloomed blossoms. Aaron's rod that bloomed blossoms. The rod that is being spoken of is what you and I would probably call a walking stick. Perhaps this rod, Aaron's rod, would be the same as his staff, but I'm inclined to think this would be something a little bit different than his staff. Do you remember in Psalms 23 that the psalmist said, Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, as if there were two separate things that the shepherd had? Some of the old writers like to say that the shepherd would have a rod in one hand to which he could smack away or hit any of the enemy, and in the other hand he would have his shepherd's staff, and most of you all know it would have a crook on the end of it, because every shepherd's staff has a crook. Hang on, you'll get that before it's over with. In one hand he'd have his rod, in the other hand he would have his staff. And so we don't know, and I don't want to make too much of this, whether or not this was Aaron's rod or his staff. If you get all tied up into that, you lose sight of what happens here. The best language that we can understand it is simply that Aaron had this walking stick. And this walking stick, we have no reason to think, and as a matter of fact, I'm convinced as I've studied this, that this rod of Aaron is the same rod that he's had in his hands for many, many years now. It is the same long cane or same long rod that had been brought before Pharaoh. I believe when Moses and Aaron came and met each other after Moses had been gone some 40 years, when they came together and met each other, Moses no doubt had his rod in his hand and Aaron had his rod in his hand as well. This is the same rod that Aaron had since before their exodus and has continued with them even until now. I believe if you'll study this out, this is the same rod that, and as you look back over the narrative, it can be a little bit confusing, and I don't want to get too far away from this. It's the same rod that sometimes during the 10 plagues of Egypt, sometimes Moses' rod would be used and sometimes Aaron's rod would be used. But if I have my study correctly, this rod that is brought into the tabernacle is the same rod that Aaron took and held it out over the rivers of Egypt and they all turned to blood. It's the same rod that Moses spoke to Pharaoh and said, if you don't let our people go, the frogs will come and devour your land. And Aaron held out his rod and the frogs came. This is the same rod. And I believe it's the same because then the children of Israel, they had seen him, had they not, on their pilgrimage since their exodus. They had seen that rod in the hand of Aaron now for months and months and months and months since they had left. We don't know the exact time that this takes place. We know that they have failed to trust God as they arrived at Kadesh Barnea. And now as that Dathan and Abiram and Korah has led this rebellion, God just says, I'm going to settle this thing once and for all. And out of all the things that God could have done, he uses Aaron's rod. Something I think that was familiar to them. Something that they knew, they had seen. They had seen it in Aaron's rod or Aaron's hand for a great period of time. And in this, I think a great miracle took place. And I'm afraid, as I mentioned again this morning, that a lot of times when we read over these things, we neglect to see the beauty that's there. And we get too familiar with these stories and we don't stop and think about what a miracle indeed transpired on that night. I have with me a walking stick. I borrowed this from Brother Wallace Dean. I hope he doesn't need it because I've got it. I don't know about Aaron's rod that bloomed. I don't know how different it would have been from this. I'm sure his didn't have a rubber stopper, rubber knob down on the end of it. Aaron's would not have. I don't know if it had a handle on it quite like this one. Maybe his was a little bit taller. Any of you who ever do any walking, especially walking out in the wilderness, if you've ever done a whole lot of it, it's nice to have a walking stick in your hand. I've always liked that. When the kids, we used to go out in the woods and walk some, and they found it a little bit strange that I would always like find me a walking stick and walk with a walking stick. But I'd say there's probably not a whole lot of difference between this and what Aaron had. Now, would you believe me if I told you that I could go set this down in my office and that tomorrow morning there would be green leaves growing out of it? That there would be sticks, limbs, branches growing out of it. Would you believe that possible? This thing's lifeless, is it not? It's dead. Well, what if I went and put it in water and poured a miracle grow down in it? Would it start growing? No, it's dead and gone, isn't it? Lifeless. The only way that Aaron's rod budded was by supernatural act of God Almighty.
Amen.
And I want you to see a few things in this. This is a picture of you and me. Dead and lifeless. Having no hope. But God came in a supernatural act, and now we who were once dead in trespasses and sins can now produce fruit.
Amen.
For the glory of God Almighty. You say, preacher, do you really believe that Aaron's rod budded, blossomed, then bloomed?
Amen.
Oh, yes, I do. I believe it. I believe that stick was just as dead. Aaron's rod was just as dead as this one is. I believe, as a matter of fact, I got the opinion that the almonds that thing produced, if Moses and Aaron could have sat down and ate them, they would have been mighty good almonds. I'm interested in this. I've just shared this with you as I was reading through this. Some of the old writers, they debated amongst themselves whether or not Aaron's rod originally came from an almond tree. And I thought, well, hoop-de-doo, who cares? You know? But what does it matter? I don't care if it came from a pecan tree, a peach tree, or a juniper bush. All I know is that in the morning it bloomed and blossomed, and it shot forth almonds.
Right.
That's what I know. And I think probably if you would have taken Aaron's rod, and if you could have took that thing and planted it out there, even in the wilderness, it would have grown out to be the biggest, most powerful almond tree in all of the wilderness. That's what I think. You think, and we have any reason to doubt that when God said this is what happened, that's what happened. Every once in a while, I like to do something like this, or bring something, put a visual aid in front of you to think about what a miracle that is. That something like this on the morrow would shoot forth and bloom blossoms. Only God could do that. Only God could do that.
Amen.
What a glorious picture this is. I'm going to set this right here in front of you. And we're going to talk about it just a little bit. God's going to clarify who indeed he called to the priesthood and who that he did. In this narrative, go ahead.
That was the same one that ate up them snake too.
As a matter of fact, that's right, brother. It's really pretty. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but he's right. You'll remember when they went before Pharaoh, Aaron took his rod and thrust it down, and it turned into a serpent. Then the soothsayers and the magicians of Pharaoh came, and they duplicated that, and there's a whole other conversation to be had to talk about satanic power involved in that. But Aaron's rod swallowed them up. And as you go along, you're going to find out that Aaron's rod is not just a picture of us, but is a picture of Christ, who will one day devour and destroy the enemy.
Amen.
See, that'll preach, won't it? That'll preach. Aaron's rod that bloomed. Aaron's rod that bloomed. Each tribe in the narrative, if you would go with me, each tribe wrote their name and the leader, their name or the name of the leader of their own family on a rod. Each of them, out of the 12 tribes of Israel, each of them would have taken either the name of Gideon or Dan or Simeon or Naphtali or whichever one that it was. Either they would have written his name on it or one of the current leaders of those 12 tribes and wrote their names on it. And at the dispatch of Moses, they took and wrote their names on them. And Moses took each of those 12 rods and laid them down in the tabernacle. And they stayed there overnight. And in the morning when Moses goes in, he sees, and God had already told them, the one whom I have called, the one who I have purposed to do the work of the priest and the family that will be involved and responsible for the ministry and the sacrifices and offerings, their rod, that family's rod, will bloom and blossom and the others will not. In the morning when Moses comes in, there lies the 12 rods and Aaron's rod of the tribe of Levi. His alone had bloomed or had blossomed. This puts the final nail in the coffin of the children of Israel's complaints against what is called the Aaronic priesthood or the Levitical priesthood. No longer did they have a right to murmur or question or call out and say, well, Aaron, you don't have the right. God has said, and he said it time and again, but he makes it clear, and it's almost like this is it. This is the final clarification, and we're not going to debate this. I'm not going to go through this anymore. I'm telling you, this is it. And if you'll study the life of the children of Israel, they continue to have a number of problems down through the years. Our brother talked about some of them at the 6 o'clock hour. They continue to have a lot of problems down through the years. But one of the things they don't question is they don't question whether or not the tribe of Levi or the descendants of Aaron, whether or not they had the right to the ministry of the tabernacle. That's pretty much just settled and over with now. God settles this thing. God clarifies something about this priesthood very, very clearly. Aaron and his descendants, those of the tribe or the family of Levi, they were the only ones permitted in the service of the tabernacle. And God uses something very simple. And as we read this, as we studied this, and as I prepared for this, I thought, well, of all the ways that God could have shown this, this is what he chose to do. This clarification, this identification of Aaron and his family in the house of the ministry of the holy things, God not only shows them but teaches them, because this Aaron's rod that buds is more than just seeing some miracle of God. It's also telling them about something that's going to happen in the future, about the glorious coming Messiah. God made it clear who he would have in his ministry. God called Aaron. Aaron didn't call Aaron. Moses didn't call Aaron to serve in the priesthood. God called Aaron to do that. And I think that God just says once and for all, I'm through with this. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to give you this miracle. We're going to do this, and we're going to settle this thing once and for all. And this is what he did. There is one family. There is one that had the right to serve in this position, and it was Aaron and they alone. Just as, and here is some of the typology that comes from that, there is only one high priest today that has the right to serve in that position, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he alone. The teaching, what God gives here in Numbers chapter 17, God defines Aaron and his family as the only ones who have the right, but he also will teach us that Jesus Christ, through this rod that blooms and this rod that blossoms, that there is only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. He and he alone is our sole high priest. And we believe in the priesthood of the believer. We believe that every child of God, regardless of what denomination they are, what faith they are, regardless of where they live or where what time period that it is, that every individual believer can offer unto God spiritual sacrifices and can bring gifts to our God, those measures of service to him. But we have only one high priest, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need any other priest on earth. We have the high priest, our Lord and Savior Christ. In this glorious thing, there were three things. Extra credit to any of you kids that can answer this question. Kids, there were three things that were kept permanently in the Ark of the Covenant. Can you tell me what they were?
Aaron's rod was one.
Aaron's rod. Don't give it away, Miss Peggy. Three things. The manna. Go ahead, Chloe. What do you got?
Ten Commandments.
Very good. The Ten Commandments, the tables of stone, a jar of manna, and Aaron's rod that budded. Isn't that something that of all the things in the history of the children of Israel, these are three significant things. We a lot of times run past number 17 and get past that story as if there ain't a whole lot to it, but I think there must be a whole lot to it if God would have Aaron's rod that budded put in that Ark of the Covenant.
Amen.
There with a table of stone, the Ten Commandments, along with that manna, there's Aaron's rod that budded as an eternal or at least temporal while they were here on earth proof or evidence that Aaron's tribe, the tribe of Levi, are the only ones who has the right to serve in this office.
Amen.
And our Christ comes, but he's not of the tribe of Levi because he came and became a better priest. After the order of Melchizedek, he came. And he is our Lord in Christ. He is our one and only high priest. And I think there's some teaching to be had in that rod there that clarifies there's only one. There's only one high priest. It was at that time, it was Aaron, and it'll be the sons of Aaron. And at this time, it is now the Lord Jesus Christ. Only one great high priest. You and I are typified. What happens in, let me finish this story real quick. The children of Israel, they are terrified. It's amazing to me how these people conduct themselves, their behavior. Moses goes into the tabernacle. He brings out those 12 rods. He lays them out before the people. 11 of them are just dead sticks, the same thing they were yesterday. But one of them bloomed and blossomed. He lays them before the people, and there, right there is undeniable proof. And I'd say that's a miracle. Wouldn't you say it was a miracle that Amen. Walking stick, that Aaron's rod bloomed and blossomed and grew forth branch? It's one thing, if you just stop, it's one thing that God gave life to that which was dead and that it would shoot forth sticks and limbs and leaves and that it would bud and blossom. That's one thing, but that it would produce fruit overnight, that's a miracle in and of itself. Anybody ever see a tree produce fruit overnight? There's just so much to be said in this that God does the supernatural, what man cannot do.
Amen.
And indeed, I believe that in Aaron's rod that blooms, we ought to see a portrait of ourselves. We were spiritually dead. We had no life. We were, as Ephesians 2, dead in trespasses and sins. Amen. We were just like that walking stick or Aaron's rod. We couldn't save ourselves. And nobody else could do for us what needed to be done. Only God could do it. Nobody else of the other 11 tribes said, "Well, hold on, Moses, let me see if I can muster up some life out of this thing." None of the other 11 tribes said to Moses, "Well, give me that rod back and let me see if maybe I can't produce a little bit of life out of it." No, that wouldn't happen, would it? Only God could do that miracle.
Amen.
Only God can bring life where there is death. Only God can do that supernatural thing. And that's how it is with the saving of every soul. Only God can save. Only God can raise the dead. Only God can take that which was lifeless, transform us from being helpless and hopeless and lifeless to now we can go and bear forth fruit.
Amen.
Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith, the fruit of the Spirit. Only God can take that which was dead, null and void. And a walking stick, it might be good to walk with. It might be good to knock the enemy over the head with. But outside of that, only God can take something that's so dead and make life out of it. That's how it is with us.
Amen.
We see a portrait of our own selves, spiritually dead and lifeless. No hope. Could that, and I'm sorry if it sounds elementary to you, but was there any hope that that rod right there would muster up life in and of itself? Just as you and I can't do it either. You can talk to it. You could compel it. You can do everything you want to do. And that's why I know salvation's of the Lord.
Amen.
Because you can do everything you want to do to a lost sinner. You can beg, you can plead, you can compel, you can cry, you can shed tears, you can do everything you want to do. But unless God gives them life, they're never going to go and bring forth fruit. That's just a fact. And my dear friends, that's us. You ever thought about that when you read Aaron's rod? That's us. We're dead and barren, no hope. But God springs forth life within us.
Amen.
And now, we can go and bring forth fruit. That glorious, simple thing, a rod that bloomed, teaches us not only the salvation of the Lord, not only do we find the importance of it by it being kept in the ark of the covenant, we also see a portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ in this. Not only in his priesthood, as him being the only priesthood, but there's a portrait of Christ coming to a barren Israel. I want to point your minds to something. If you will fast forward some measure of time into the future before Christ comes. When you close out the book of Malachi, there's some 400 years of silence. Really, until John the Baptist shows up on the scene saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The children of Israel had become like this Aaron's rod. They'd become barren, lifeless. What the old prophets would say, there was no open vision. There was, God had shut down calling prophets. He had shut down to where he was not leading men to the ministry to prophesy to Israel any longer. Israel and Judah, they'd been divided. Both of them carried away hostage into strange lands. The ceremony, the observances, the sacrifices at the tabernacle were really just about ritualistic. There was no real heartfelt, true worship, of Jehovah God. That had all ceased. And Israel, to be in typology, Israel was like Aaron's rod that night before. They were just lifeless. There was, nothing left of them, any real portrait of hope. And then the Messiah comes. And then Christ comes. And the glorious thing is, if you really stop and think about it, Israel really hasn't started to bloom and blossom yet. But they will. Because when Christ came, they rejected him. I'm speaking nationally. You understand that there was a remnant of people that received him, a remnant of those that were saved, but nationally, they rejected him. But Christ is going to come back. And when he does, he'll take that lifeless nation. You see, God's not done with Israel yet. God's not done with Israel yet. And I don't have time to preach a lot of prophecy tonight, but God's not done with them yet. They've not yet done what they're going to do. They've got some trouble, I promise you. They've got some trouble ahead of them. I know some of y'all have been studying through the book of Revelation, but one of these days Israel's going to blossom. And they will blossom when the rose of Sharon sits upon the throne. One of these days, all of the nations of the earth will head that way when they want to worship God. God's not done with Israel yet. Amen. There's a picture of Christ coming, and because Christ comes, he takes Israel and they bloom and blossom. And then there's also a picture of Christ in this, that Isaiah 53 says that he sprang up as a root out of a dry ground. Isaiah 11 and verse 1 calls Christ, he says that out of the root of Jesse, or there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. A branch shall grow out of his roots. This is a portrait of Christ. He comes and brings life to us. And then finally, there is a picture of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and Aaron's rod that bloomed. There's a portrait of Israel. There's a portrait of us. There's a portrait of Christ and his priesthood. And then there's a portrait of the resurrection of Christ. If the devil dances, I'm sure he did a devilish dance the day they crucified our Lord. The day that they took his lifeless body down and laid it in Joseph's new tomb. I'm sure with devilish delight, he rejoiced with all of his little wicked warriors that they had killed and had been part and parcel in killing the Lord of glory. And they took his body there and they laid it in the tomb. And his body laid there 3 days and three nights. And you do what you want to do with this, but I'm a literalist. I believe 3 days and three nights. Amen. 72 hours is what I believe happened. And his body, and I speak with all the reverence that I can speak, but his body was as lifeless as Aaron's rod the night before. Do you understand that? Aaron's walking stick, his body, he was physically, he yielded up the ghost and he died. He did indeed taste death for every man. He did. And his body laid there lifeless, just as lifeless as Aaron's rod until that glorious resurrection morning. And on that resurrection morning, just as when Moses would walk in to the tabernacle that morning and look, and that which was dead now is alive, so it is with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. His body laid there in that grave, dead. And whatever you want to do, here it is. I believe that his soul, his spirit, went and preached to the spirits that were in prison. I think he went down to the center of the earth, and there he preached to those that were held there until he led captivity captive through his own redemptive work, through his atonement. Now they could enter into that place called heaven. Now they could get up and go, and he would lead them there. But he came back down. His soul or spirit came back down and reunited with his body. And that body that had laid there lifeless on that glorious Sunday morning rose up. And he came out of that tomb.
Amen.
He was alive and alive forevermore. Just like Aaron's rod that bloomed and blossomed, so did our Christ come forth alive and bore forth or brought forth fruit or evidence that he was yet indeed alive. We have a risen Savior. Dead, men thought, as lifeless as Aaron's rod. But then the morning came. I love I love that old gospel song that said, then came the morning. That's right. Then came the morning. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. That Sunday morning came and Christ arose. And as Aaron's rod had bloomed and blossomed, so did our Christ. Life, where there was death. And because He lives, we live.
Amen.
There's a portrait of His glorious resurrection. Let me try to tie this together with you. Out of Hebrews chapter 7. I quoted a lot of Hebrews to you this morning. I'm going to ask you to turn and let's just read over there. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. Let's read out of this and see what a glorious picture there is here in the priesthood of our Christ and His work in restoring Israel, His work in saving us, and His work in the resurrection. He ever lives. What a glorious picture this is. Aaron's rod that bloomed. Hebrews and chapter number 7. And we'll just, I don't know, it's hard to know where to start when you get in Hebrews and where to quit when you get in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Chapter 7, verse 23. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. We see in Aaron's rod that our Christ bloomed and blossomed, and now as he lives, as he came up out of that grave alive, he ever lives to make intercession for us.
Amen.
We need no other high priest now. We have him. He ever lives. He blooms, he blossoms, and he will never, ever die. He ever liveth. Oh, my dear friends, Aaron's rod that bloomed, something that would perhaps seem small and insignificant, but speaks volumes for those who will listen. We see in this glorious, glorious typology a picture of every saint who is saved, a picture of every sinner who is brought to Christ, dead to living, and then we see a picture of Israel and our Christ. Do you not see him? When you look at Aaron's rod, lying there, and you know, there's some things I don't know. I'm of the persuasion that one of these days we're probably going to lay eyes on that earthly ark of the covenant. If not, we'll see a heavenly one. That much I know for sure. But in that ark lied the manna, which was a portrait of Christ. In the ark, there was the law, and Christ came to fulfill that law. And in that ark, there was the rod, Aaron's rod, that budded, which is a portrait of the risen high priest that lives forever, Christ Jesus, our Savior. And I'm of the mindset, I don't know, I wouldn't fight and argue with anybody. I'm of the mindset, one of these days, we're going to see that. But I know this much, he lives forever. He lives forever. Aaron's rod that bloomed. Got to take that home, Miss Bobby. Put that in a pot with some good dirt and water and see what happens to it. Miss Bobby said she wasn't wasting good dirt and water on that thing. Wasn't doing any good, but God can. Oh, lost sinner, God can give you life.
Amen.
If you'll trust Him, if you'll do what's right, come to Him through His Son, you can be saved.